like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. I felt very clearly what God wanted me to say and speak last night for a little while with our Bible college banquet people. And I felt very strongly about tonight. This morning, it just seemed like, God, what are you saying? And I'm telling you, when it came, it came. God said, go back to basics. Go back to basics. And I turned over to Isaiah 41. I said something every preacher said. I said, God, they've heard me say that over and over and over again. But you know, if there's anything I think we need to learn and relearn, on your radio, if you listen to Christian music, you'll hear one song God knows how many times. And I just think of certain recording artists that have sung songs that really touched and blessed your life. And you know, if a song blesses you, you'll listen to it more than once. You listen to it over and over and over again. At least I do. I love anointed music. I was a praise leader during my early days in the ministry, and I still love and appreciate, listen very carefully to gospel music. I can't agree with all of it. Some of it gets into too much soulish realm and gets off the Word of God. I'm not going to cry about something that's not scriptural. But I love songs that exalt the Word. I love songs that exalt Jesus and songs that touch your life. Well, you know, the same thing about the Word of God. Sometimes we're hesitant to say things, and I was just thinking how many times I heard Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin relate certain stories. Someone said, well, he just tells stories. Well, he was a powerful teacher and minister of the Word of God, but yeah, he told stories. And I remembered as a child, you've always got three or four in a church. We just need the deeper teaching. We need deeper teaching, deeper. And they were some of the shallowest folks. You know, kids know a lot. It's amazing what kids see around a church. And didn't have good attitudes, and they got offended easily. And, you know, deep teaching, what you need is teaching that will change your life. And, you know, I've gone back and reviewed our ministry over the last few weeks and months. You know, almost every minister every time we minister, it teaches you how to be a better husband or a better wife or a better employee or a better citizen or a better church member or how to get along with yourself. You know, some people, the reason they have so many problems, they can't get along with themselves. It's reflected in other people's lives. But God, help us, help me to never weary of that little promise that came out of a promise box that I carried in my billfold until it disintegrated. I mean, it just fell apart one day. Isaiah 41:10. When we started the church in 1964, I carried that promise. I preached with that promise in my wallet. I went to the bank with that promise. I talked to so many different people at strategic times with that promise in my pocketbook. Thank God for Isaiah 41:10. And God dealt with me. He said, you know, you've referred to it without getting into it now. Too often, you need to get into it again. And I'm getting into it again. I know it by heart, but do we really know it? You know, the interesting thing about God's Word, though you've read it, it's fresh every time you hear it or read it again, if the Spirit of God is involved in that. Now, I've got an old Bible I brought out of retirement because there were some things in here that I wanted to hold on to. But actually, I could preach from Isaiah 41:10. This is the page that fell out of my Bible. And I could just use that for my, I don't know what that is. That's a blank piece of paper, all right. But I've got Isaiah, the whole 41st chapter of Isaiah right here. I could just use that to... What a blessing it has been in my life. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This morning, by God's help, I'd like to give you 7 excuses to fail and 7 reasons why you can make it. And they're all from this one verse. There are many excuses to fail, but 7 reasons you can make it. And every one of them comes from Isaiah 41:10. I'd like you to take notes because I believe it will be a blessing to you. Excuse number one is, but I'm so afraid. It's amazing what we would do if fear were not present. I'm so afraid. You know what God's simple answer to that is? Fear thou not. 2 Timothy 1:7. You see, fear is a spirit. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God doesn't want us to live in fear. When you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's a fear attack about one or more of God's promises not working for you, that's when you need to just get up and start praying in the Spirit and speak the Word of God and open your Bible and just give the devil what for. Don't let him disturb your sleep. I'm so afraid. God says my answer to that is, fear thou not. You don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything if your heart's right and your faith is right with God. Not to be afraid of anything. No one. No situation. You may be facing an impossible situation, but God's a God of impossibilities. So it's a faith challenge, but don't face it in fear. Someone gave me a little plaque several years ago that fear knocked at the door, but faith answered and fear disappeared. I like that. Amen. Fear thou not. Excuse number one. Fear thou not is answered by the heart of God. Secondly, but no one is with me. I remember back in those beginning days, no one is with me. God said, excuse me, I am with you. Maybe we've forgotten about the imminent presence of God. Maybe we've forgotten that the most important presence in the universe is God Almighty. I'd rather have His presence than an army. Paul said, I went to court and no man stood with me. Hi, buddy. How you doing? Give me 5, man. What's your name? Huh? What's your name? Oh, you want to preach? Well, no, I've got to preach, yeah. Preach! Come here, buddy. Come here. Hey, don't worry about that, honey. Everything's cool. Thank God there's life in the house. Give him a hand clap. He didn't have an ounce of fear. He did not have. There's your illustrated message right there. Would any of you have tried that? Honey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I'd rather have life in the house. Woo! Oh, glory. That's fun. That's fun. Hallelujah. So many people run away from a preacher. It's good to see somebody run into a preacher. See if you can hire some more kids like that. Oh, where was I? It's Isaiah 41:10. You know, you might as well have a good laugh. You're not going to get out alive anyway. Amen. You know, God did that to wake some of you up. I'll have to give him five for that. I'll find him after church. That is funny. That is really funny. Praise God. Well, let's see. Where were we? Isaiah 41:10. Amen. Oh, yeah. Seven reasons you can make it. No excuses, right? Now, I want to say it one more time. That boy did not have an ounce of fear in him. He didn't have an ounce of fear. I mean, he just... what he wanted to do, and he did it. Not that everything we want to do is okay, but you know. Okay, but I'm so afraid. Fear thou not. Number two, but no one is with me. I am with thee. I am with you. I'm with you. No man stood with me, Paul said. I went to court. No man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Boy, isn't that is so awesome. If no one stands with you, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Thirdly, but I don't know any important people. I've heard of people starting a church and they had a couple of millionaires to help them, you know, or they borrowed a few from somebody else's church or something of that nature. But I don't have any important people to help me. Well, you know what God's answer to that was? We're all right here in Isaiah 41:10. He said, I am. Important people, I am. Moses, tell them, I am sent you. I am. Not I was, not I will be, and he will be, but I am. I am. I am with you. I'm with you, Moses. You tell them I am has sent you. Praise God. Woo. But fourthly, but I feel so weak. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Oh, they're just, before we even get there, Psalms 27. The Lord is the strength of my life. That's one of my favorite verses. The Lord is the strength of my life. Having a weak day, the Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord. God said, I will strengthen thee. I enjoy a good cup of coffee at the right time, and it'll give you a little perk up and a little pick up there. But let me tell you, the real strength is God. God. God's strength in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. When I am weak, Paul said. Now listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. When I am weak, I am strong. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we feel so capable, and so on top of things. We really aren't. But when we realize that we're nothing, less than nothing without Him, when I am weak and I depend on the Lord, I am strong. The Word of God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace. Talk about when you feel weak. My grace is sufficient. The grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Paul went on to say, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. So really, when you feel weak, you're in a good vantage point because you're depending on Him. And you realize you can't, so you trust Him to do it. Amen. When I'm weak, He makes me strong. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, here's another one. "But I don't have anyone to help me." I've heard that so many times, and I've said that a few times. "But I don't have anyone to help me." I remember we had called a work night in the old post office building. Contractors were coming the next day, and if you don't have everything ready for them, you won't see them again for 2 or 3 weeks. And so I called a work night, and that night no one showed up but me. I've got my coveralls on, and I've got a wheelbarrow, and I'm wheeling trash out to put it in a truck to take it to the city dump the next day. And I'm not praising God. I'm fussing. You know, to this day, I don't like a wheelbarrow. It won't do anything unless you make it. Too many wheelbarrow Christians. And here I've got dust flying, sheetrock dust flying everywhere, and crushed rock and foundation stuff, and going out the door. And I'm just really, really frustrated. And God spoke to me, and I remember to this very day, I can hear the voice. "If you do this thing willingly, you have a reward." I dropped that wheelbarrow. Dust went a-flying. I dropped it where it was. And I lifted both hands and I said, "God, forgive me. Don't let me waste a night like this and not get a reward for it." Amen. Praise God. And happily, I finished what I needed to do and what needed to be done. "But I don't have anyone to help me." You know what God's answer to that is? "I will help you." Have you asked me? I will help you. I will help you. It just keeps coming back to the Lord. It's amazing how many times God promises to help, especially in Isaiah. How many times God promises to help us? Boy, we all need help, don't we? I said we all need help. We'll need help all of our life. He said, "I will help thee." It went further into Isaiah 41:10. But another excuse for failure, "But I get so discouraged," or dismayed was the word that he used there. And the word dismayed in Joshua as well as Isaiah. Let me tell you what the word dismayed, I found out it means. Dismayed means to be broken down, confused, a victim of violence, scared, terrified, bewildered, because you're looking at circumstances. Oh my. Oh my. I get so discouraged. I get so dismayed. God doesn't want you to be discouraged. You know, we all get discouraged, unfortunately, but God doesn't want you to be discouraged. just pop a praise tape and start shouting the praises of God. Hallelujah. I had a very unfortunate situation this week. I had some money. No one got it. I mean, no one close to me, but it was a busy day and a lot of things were happening. I was trying to do too many things at one time. And so I'm left some cash this morning that I've learned a lesson to be more careful in that regard. At first, I was very frustrated. Then I got to thinking, you know, there would have been a time I'd have thought of jumping off a cliff about now. Not really, but do you understand what I'm saying? There would have been a time I would have been totally devastated. But you know, I'm going to make it. That's not going to alter my life. Somewhere, it'll be all right. God makes things up. Everything that happened doesn't have to destroy your life. Oh my God, what am I going to do? It's come apart like a $3 watch. Amen. But I get so discouraged, broken down, confused, a victim of violence, scared, terrified, bewildered because of looking at circumstances. You remember Peter was doing well for a few moments there when his eyes were on Jesus, but he looked down at the water and he paid attention to the wind and he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. Help me, Lord. Bewildered, forgetting that God is our source. Forgetting that God is our source. Discouragement is not of God. You say, but you don't understand my circumstances. Well, I may not, and you may not understand mine. But you know what? God's above all of our circumstances. God's bigger than anything. God's bigger than any of our situations. But you don't know what I'm facing with my children or my grandchildren. We've come through a very devastating, you know, there's all kind of stuff happens to everybody. And in every ministry, I have to chuckle. I could take you to four locations in Fort Worth when the gossipers, I mean, I'm just a young man, but I heard the gossipers say, they're not going to make it. That church going under. I could take you to the locations. It's, you know, I've grown up around here. I know a lot more than I act like sometimes. You think, well, what about him? Well, I'm a very observant person. Amen. And I've heard people say, no, do you hear the latest? They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. But you know what? They made it, and the churches are still going, and God's still on the throne. And the leadership went on to be with the Lord at the proper time. Every church, someone said, they're not going to make it. They can't make it. I'm not there. But you know what? The Lord is with us. And if God's with you, you're going to make it. I said, if God's with you, you're going to make it. In a church, on the job, no matter where you are, God will see you through the impossible. God will see you through the impossible. Are you getting anything out of God's word? This is all one verse. And there's one more, number 7. But what if I fail? What if I fail? What if I go under? And I just wrote below that, no way! No way. Hallelujah. But what if I fail? What if I don't make it? What if, now, you know, if you're doing the wrong thing or if you haven't heard from God, we've all crashed and burned. We all understand that. But, I mean, if you've really heard from God in your own track, and there's times I thought I failed, but I didn't fail. When I got the whole story, I really won. We were downtown when we had to sell that 8 acres. one of the most frustrating times in my life in ministry. I thought, oh God, I'm a failure. I failed the church. We failed to get our financing on the top of the hill. We had to sell the 8 acres, which is our future, at the bottom of the hill. It was gone for 13 years, but Isaac came back. Isaac came off the altar, and we're still alive, and we're still in business as a church and as a Christian school. Hallelujah. You know what God had to say about that? What if I go under? I will hold you up. Now, don't get offended if you're left-handed, okay? I don't understand the right and the left-hand thing about God. I'll just have to accept the word. He said, I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Now, if there's anything that's stronger about God than something else, it seems to be his right hand. And God said, with my right hand, I'll hold you up. I'll lift you. I'll strengthen you. I'll bring you through. Hallelujah. I remember a story years ago when Oral Roberts was going out with his tent. He was in Amarillo, Texas, and I don't remember if it was a 5,000 or 10,000 seat tent, but it was a good sized tent. And a tornado came through Amarillo, tore his tent to shreds. No insurance, so everything seemed loss. A man who later became his business administrator, Lee Braxton, who was a very successful businessman from the Carolinas, sent Oral Roberts a telegram. Now, Oral Roberts was a powerful man, but he kind of had a tendency to be a little melodramatic sometimes about things, and he was in the dumps. He said, I was under it. And Lee Braxton sent him a telegram and said, Oral, cheer up. You can't go under for going over. And it snapped him out of that moment of discouragement. You can't go under for going over. And I want that to penetrate your heart this morning. The first time I heard that, my spirit leaped within me. You can't go under for going over if your trust and your faith is in God. Think about that. Can't go under for going over. You may not understand it. The time may not be what you want it to be. You know, God sometimes does different things at different times. But just like downtown, 13 years they tried to sell that property. They said it was a Jonah. That property jumped from $850,000 to $7 million over in Sunbelt Savings in Dallas. Until finally the government said, get that piece of property out of your portfolio. Get rid of it. And they came to our office and said, you know that 8 acres out here? I said, yes, I'm well acquainted with that. Said, it's been a Jonah ever since we've had it. Make us an offer. I thought about offering $1 million, and we didn't have that. I thought about $500,000. I thought, well, no, we don't have that either. I said, I'll tell you what. We'll give you $100,000 and close anytime you want to close. I knew the bank would go for that. They closed their briefcase in business fashion, said, don't call us, we'll call you. I believe it was 2 weeks later they called back and said, when do you want to close? $7 million disappeared. See, that'll build your faith. 13 years, that property, I called it Isaac. I changed the name of 8 acres to Isaac. Hallelujah. God may seem slow, but when he moves, does he move? When he moves with bonuses. When he moves in such an awesome way. The Word of God said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's not time to quit. It's time to crank up. It's time to up the ante. It's time to ratchet up. It's a time of new beginnings. Somebody, I don't believe that. Well, then forget it. It's sure not going to happen if you don't believe it. But I've seen God restart and recharge time and time again in this ministry. And you just mark my word, it's God's time of new beginnings. Hallelujah. It's God's time of new beginnings. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Hallelujah. The foundational verse of this ministry since 1964. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God resurrect some musicians around here. I believe. I believe. I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of God's word? I believe God. Let me hear you say it. I believe God. I believe God.
I believe God.
Now, you know what you got this morning? You got some deep teaching. Because if you don't understand what I said this morning, all the teaching in the world is not going to help you. You can know everything about the Bible. You can memorize it from cover to cover. But if you don't know how to use it, forget it. Give me a verse I understand and let me go for it. And that's what we did this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, to be God's hand extended, reaching out to my heart, there's some folks that need a new beginning this morning. And I just wonder how many would join me here at the front altar area. We're believing God for a breakthrough, breakout of new beginnings in every life that will just release your faith today. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41:10 will work for you. It will work for anyone. Hallelujah. It's a time of new beginnings. It's a time of new beginnings. Hallelujah. It's a time of new beginnings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. You know, the Lord brought to my memory this morning one of our trips to Uganda. There's a church that's running 10,000 people on Sunday morning. It started under a shade tree and came on our television station in Uganda. And literally, any church that's on our television station has grown in Uganda, in Kampala. Any church that's on our... there are churches... It just astounds you, the hunger that there is in the hearts of the people. People say, well, it's a Christian nation. No, there's always, there's no shortage on sinners in any nation, our own included. But I'll never forget that morning. There have been two or three times I've preached in that particular location. Every time we go back, and I've preached. If you haven't preached, you wouldn't understand what I'm saying, but there's been times I've got so far out, I wonder if I could get back in the Spirit. And I'll never forget one of those Sunday mornings when the Spirit of God was moving in such an awesome way. And I began to sing, He will never let go of my hand. He will never let go of my hand. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, He will never let go of my hand. I don't know how many times I sang it and the people sang it with me. And after a while, I turned it back over to the pastor and he began to lead the people in singing. And there was a 2 or 3 block area that you have to go up to get public transportation in the little vans that many of them depend on their transportation for. And as our car was going with people on either side with the windows down, you could hear that multitude of people singing, He will never let go of my hand. He will never let go of my hand. And something of that just got into my spirit just a moment ago. Oh, He will never let go my hand. If you don't know it, you'll pick it up the second time around. Oh, He will never let go my hand. Although the storms may come and the winds may blow, He will never let go my hand.
He will never
just declare this morning to be a time of new beginnings. I declare this morning to be a time of new beginnings for everyone that will believe that and receive that. I speak it in the name of the Lord, and I say that every craziness of hell must back off. Hallelujah. Every sickness was nailed to the cross of Calvary. Father, I thank You that every impossible mountain is possible because of the finished work of Calvary. I thank You, Father, that this is a day of new beginnings for everyone that will receive it. Now lift your voice and just start praising God. Start praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory.